Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So good to be back online again. You know, in all of the emotions that are out there, only the Word of God makes sense. It keeps us stable no matter what. And we thank God for that. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him who's worthy. Shepra di la balka. Luprediste promanshta vravavante lebosho. Oh, we give you thanks for your word. Supralite belevite korosuto. We give you thanks for your word, that you and your word are one. We give you thanks that you are the living word at the right hand of the Father. Oh, we give you thanks that we have the opportunity to study, to meditate, to ponder on your word and that which it creates in us, in our consciousness, that we can live it out. We give you thanks for that. We give you praise for that. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. Glorify your name in all the earth. Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. Glorify your name in all the earth. Precious Holy Spirit, we love you, we worship and adore you, we glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify your name, glorify your name, glorify your name in all the earth. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Holy Trinity. Thank you, great Godhead, we worship you, that you indwell us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, that in you dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are in you today. We're grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, that every other thing is fleeting. Every other thing is temporary. Hallelujah, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you. As you equip us for these fierce days, for these latter times, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, great King. We worship you. We worship you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's open up our Bibles to a familiar prayer in Hebrews 13. And notice the 20th verse. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In the typical style of the Apostle Paul, he often has a prayer tucked away. And it's a real proof of his revelation, that the God of reconciliation, who paid the price to bring us back into his family, enduring the whole process of being a lamb and then a shepherd and then the great shepherd laying down his life for all, that has sworn in covenant with his own son in his blood to us, that he would perfect that which concerns us, that he would work in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, and that Jesus at the right hand would be praying for us, and in his present ministry as apostle, high priest of our confession, and through his great mediatorial and intercessory place, he makes sure that our thoughts can come into union with God's plan and then be lived out. And so we believe that this prayer will avail for us as his sheep, as his flock, that he purchased with his own blood, nothing less than God's own blood. Hallelujah. And so we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Take advantage of these prayers while you have time on the earth. Pray over them and ponder the depth of them and take advantage of what has been offered in prayer. Hallelujah. Let's hear this in Kannada also.
ಶಾಶ್ವತವಾದ ಒಡಂಬಡಿಕೆಯ ರಕ್ತದ ಮೂಲಕ ಕುರಿ ಹಿಂಡಿಗೆ ದೊಡ್ಡ ಕುರುಬನಾಗಿರುವ ನಮ್ಮ ಕರ್ತನಾದ ಯೇಸುವನ್ನು ಸತ್ತವರೊಳಗಿಂದ ಬರ ಮಾಡಿದ ಶಾಂತಿದಾಯಕನಾದ ದೇವರು, ನಿಮ್ಮನ್ನು ಸಕಲ ಸತ್ಕಾರ್ಯಗಳಲ್ಲಿ ಆತನ ಚಿತ್ತವನ್ನು ಮಾಡುವಂತೆ ಪರಿಪೂರ್ಣ ಮಾಡಲಿ. ತನ್ನ ದೃಷ್ಟಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ಮೆಚ್ಚಿಕೆಯಾದ ಅದನ್ನು ಯೇಸು ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನ ಮೂಲಕ ನಿಮ್ಮಲ್ಲಿ ನಡೆಸಲಿ. ಯುಗಯುಗಾಂತರಗಳಲ್ಲಿಯೂ ಆತನಿಗೆ ಮಹಿಮೆ ಉಂಟಾಗಲಿ. ಆಮೆನ್.
It's nice to see that God was so concerned that he would bring us into a place of eternal settledness, that as he himself is at the right hand in heaven, the Father's right hand, with everything settled, that we also would enjoy that right now, that we would have that settled life and live from that place, in spite of everything that's going on around. And you can see his divine efforts in all of that. For instance, in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, speaking about us and what we have, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. Hallelujah. This is a loving father's thought, that he had to make sure corruption, decay, devaluation, all other forms of stealing and destruction would not defile the inheritance that he has for his children, for his own, and that it would be locked and kept reserved in heaven for us. Hallelujah. That even if the person who was supposed to receive the inheritance passed away, it would still be there for them. What a thought. Hallelujah. Well, we have here a small word kind of study, since the whole language itself is a journey on its own, sometimes you cannot effectively comment, and we rely on varieties of scholars to say things on the Greek language. But there was the Homeric type, which was ancient, and then there was something known as the common Greek language, which everybody was supposed to know. However, you come across this word in reserved, King James calls it reserved, to be tereo. I guess Google will tell us how to pronounce it, because everything is available on Google. How to pronounce the word? Is it Pierre Cardin, or is it Pierre Cardin? Like that, we can check. Amen. So you could go and see what the real pronunciation of this. But the word means, it's a military term, to attend carefully, take care of, to guard, to keep one in the state in which he is maintain that state, to observe, to reserve. All of those thoughts are there to guard from loss or injury properly by keeping the eye upon. Very interesting thought there. We want to see how well he's looking after these things, that he's guarding over, keeping his eye over, keeping as though you are in a military fortress to some extent, kind of detained, kept in custody. All of these thoughts are there. Can you imagine God standing there dressed in military uniform over your inheritance? Glory. Amen. Making sure that that inheritance is fully received. Amen. Kept there. Very interesting word and thought. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise God. And then in the fifth verse, notice here, he has used the same thought, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. The same word is used there also, that we are kept by that same terio, that the same watchful military oversight, guard, prevention from loss, we are also kept. Notice that. By the power of God. Hallelujah. Nothing less than the power of God. Through faith. Notice that. What we believe according to God's word and act upon has made us recipients of all of this care, this loving care of a loving Heavenly Father, the likes of which we may know, but which is far beyond any natural human father. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Hallelujah. And so we have these kind of thoughts here, and that causes us to greatly rejoice, he says, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. This kind of knowledge, understanding, revelation will cause one to greatly rejoice. Hallelujah. And exalt and agalio. Hallelujah. Words like that. Jump for joy. Rejoice greatly. Though now for a season, if need be, sometimes you may be going through some challenges. There's always something or the other. But you can rejoice. Hallelujah. And that too exceedingly, knowing that that person who has chosen such a sense and meaning to convey to us that he's not just interested in your inheritance, but in your life also, and is willing by his power to watch over that and make sure you get everything that he has planned for you. Hallelujah. And even though it may be the very last days where everything seems to be dismantling and chaotic, we can greatly rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's see if we can hear this in Canada. 1 Peter 1, verse 4 and 5.
ಲಯ ಕಳಂಕ ಕ್ಷಯಗಳಿಲ್ಲದ ಬಾಧ್ಯತೆಗೂ ನಮ್ಮನ್ನು ತಿರುಗಿ ಹುಟ್ಟಿಸಿದ್ದಾನೆ ಈ ಬಾಧ್ಯತೆಯು ನಿಮಗೋಸ್ಕರ ಪರಲೋಕದಲ್ಲಿ ಇಟ್ಟಿದೆ ಅಂತ್ಯಕಾಲದಲ್ಲಿ ಪ್ರಕಟವಾಗುವುದಕ್ಕೆ ಸಿದ್ಧವಾಗಿರುವ ರಕ್ಷಣೆಗೆ ನಂಬಿಕೆಯ ಮುಖಾಂತರ ದೇವರು ನಿಮ್ಮನ್ನು ತನ್ನ ಬಲದಿಂದ ಕಾಯುತ್ತಾನೆ
Glory to God. And so just a few instances like that where Jesus himself is using such words. It's a good thing to see. One of those prayers that must stand out in our lives again and again is that great high priestly prayer of John 17. And so he uses that sense there also. And it's a powerful thing to imagine that while he was on the earth, he had committed the same force of the Father to keep watch over those who had received the word and his name. Notice here, verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. That word kept again is the same tereo word, in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. Praise God. There is another word. Apparently the difference between those two words, tereo and phulasso, is that one has more of a military idea and the other has a watchful, loving care. So both of those are there. There's a military watching over and then there's a loving, fatherly care and concern. I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Hallelujah. And these truths are interesting because as he leaves, he says in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them, that's that tereo again, from the evil. Amen. So he has been looking at us, his sheep, his own flock, in the midst of a wicked world, an evil, totally self-destructive world that is ruled by his archenemy, a fallen angel who has dared to challenge God that God's word is not true and that whatever Jesus did was just a lie. In his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and even sitting at the right hand, that it was all a lie, and that this enemy, this arch father of lies, is actually the final truth, and that he's willing to pursue that, to prove it even to the very last, even though he was defeated 2,000 years ago, and in the mind of God way before that, because God saw it all. However, he has decided to stand and not believe in, quote, what God has said, but rather believe that he is able to subvert and take everyone captive and drive them to his destiny. Just imagine the audacity of that. Amen. That whatever Jesus did for us in his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, sitting at the right hand of God, we partake of it today by the Holy Spirit, that what Jesus did through the Spirit of God is ours now. And because of that greater one, hallelujah, we have already overcome because it has already taken place. And through the Holy Spirit, the greater one, it's our experience. It's for us today. Hallelujah. But there is this person who thinks in his own thought patterns that he can hold out and eventually take Jerusalem and make his own seed sit there on the throne as God and drive you away from your destiny and make you quit and even fail and lose heaven. Hallelujah. The audacity of this one is interesting. And so maybe he is a worthwhile adversary. That God himself says, oh really? Well, I'll prove it to you that I am the only wise God, that my word is final, that my authority is final, that what I say is truth. Amen. And here we are in between them, having to choose in the midst of all these thoughts. Amen. And so we are not just trying to read about the word, but we want to read the word. Amen. And really get it into our consciousness so that we can enjoy this Father, this true God, this truth himself that severs and separates us from the dominion and domain of the dark demonic Lord, hallelujah, who is ruling everything else that you see out there. Praise God. And so we cannot afford to go by our senses or our feelings at any point. Hallelujah. All we have to do is to maintain our position in the truth and take advantage of this great loving Heavenly Father and his good plan. Amen. so much to think about, but it's worthy of thought because it is the only true thing, it's the only lovely thing, it's the only good report. Everything else is bad news and it is below our thinking. Can you imagine that we were not created to think on anything less than this? And this is beneath our thinking. It is fallen. It's rebellious. It's against the loving nature of our Father. Amen. And man was not created to entertain anything like that. Praise God. And from that position, when you start to look at it, things can drastically change. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he committed the word to us, the Father's word, and the world hates them, he said in verse 14, because they are not of the world. Wow. Even as I am not of the world. This word has brought us to a place where we are not of this world, even as he is not of this world. Hallelujah. Divinity, God himself, has brought us to the place where we are as he is. Wow. All by believing this word, by taking it simply as the word of a final authority, even as we would take it as the word of a government, word of a bank, word of somebody we honor and respect, that they cannot let us down, that their word is final. And we took it like that, and it immediately gave us the very nature and life of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. All of these thoughts are in that prayer, and notice that he himself is trusting the Father to keep us. Amen. As he kept while he was here. And so that keeping power is very powerful, very vital. And we're going to trust that power and not ourselves. Hallelujah. And that is only available in the Word, by which we were born, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Eternal, final, some things have been settled in an eternal measure. Praise God, that you don't have to go worrying about it and balancing about it. You just have to know that some things have been settled. Hallelujah. And that as he is, so are we in this world right now. Amen. And therefore, in his kindness and love and care, he would not leave us here unless we were so as he was and could overcome as he did. A defeated foe who has only used lies against the world and anyone who would listen. No matter what it feels like, it's still a lie if it's not in line with the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory, we've said a few things, and sadly we cannot translate everything, but what we can is do what is in the scripture. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Thank God for the word. Let's see if we can read from the 12th verse, first of all, of the 17th chapter of John.
ನಾನು ಅವರೊಂದಿಗೆ ಲೋಕದಲ್ಲಿದ್ದಾಗ ನಿನ್ನ ಹೆಸರಿನಲ್ಲಿ ಅವರನ್ನು ಕಾಪಾಡಿದೆನು ನೀನು ನನಗೆ ಕೊಟ್ಟವರನ್ನು ನಾನು ಕಾಪಾಡಿದ್ದೇನೆ ಬರಹವು ನೆರವೇರುವ ಹಾಗೆ ಆ ನಾಶನದ ಮಗನೇ ಹೊರತು ಅವರಲ್ಲಿ ಒಬ್ಬನೂ ನಾಶವಾಗಲಿಲ್ಲ
Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice verse 15 also. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil.
ನೀನು ಅವರನ್ನು ಲೋಕದೊಳಗಿಂದ ತೆಗೆಯಬೇಕೆಂತಲ್ಲ ಅವರನ್ನು ಕೇಡಿನಿಂದ ಕಾಪಾಡಬೇಕೆಂದು ನಾನು ಕೇಳಿಕೊಳ್ಳುತ್ತೇನೆ.
It also implies that he could have prayed that we would be taken out immediately after our salvation. And that would have been so nice. Amen. Just an ejector seat. Beam me up, Scotty. You're gone. Hallelujah. Just like that. That would have been so cool. However, you know, he didn't want that to happen because, you see, actually, he has left the earth. To be precise and real about it, he is not here. But we are here. And his spirit is here. And his word is here. And so the same love that he has for us, he has for the whole world. And he wants that truth and reality to become evident by lives lived out. Practically, evidently, to be seen that this great King, Lord, Savior is actually alive. That he lives through his people. That he's actually born in them and lives in them. Praise God. And that it requires us to be healed. We cannot escape like that and make that plan of God fulfilled. Praise God. His plan is that we're here and that in his great foreknowledge, whoever we were supposed to impact and affect should be met and impacted. Hallelujah. And we should be kept till that time. Praise God. And though the pressures continue to mount and our soul, which is the weakest part of us, is sometimes badgered this way and that way, we are bound to get our stability from the keeping power of the Word of God and His name than any other thing. Hallelujah. As it was then, so it should be now, so that Jesus is represented as He ought to be. Truly, Jesus as Lord. Hallelujah. And so, He prays this prayer with all of those thoughts which we are just gleaning from this angle and that angle, but the full depth of it is only in His heart. And he has given us a few glimpses into it, the way he thinks. We have the mind of Christ. We have access to that. And we can think a little bit like that. But the purity of it causes the elders to bow and say, "Holy, holy, holy." And that's all they can do. Because it is untainted by any of our fallen thinking. It is pure and of the highest purity. And it will continue like that. From such a part of heart and thinking, we are given words, which are not just mere words, but which are God's living word, and it is supposed to communicate to us exactly God. Hallelujah. And so these are not just words in a book, but they are alive with the very life, breath, and power of God himself. And it should communicate with us and build in us that reality. Hallelujah. And so we want to embrace that. Even though we are strangers here. Amen. We want to embrace and hold on to it, welcome it, and live here until we get to the eternal homes and he's able to keep us. Praise God. Thank God for that. So I think we read verse 15, and now let's read verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Hallelujah.
Nanu lokadavanallada prakara avaru lokadavaralla.
Amen. Praise God. Verse 14, notice how we keep reading this way and that way, but sometimes you have to see the sense of something and see how God looked at it. And praise God. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. Notice that it was the Father's word. Amen. That the Trinity agrees with each other completely. That if you were to keep one somewhere in, say, collegial, and interrogate him privately, for instance, the Holy Spirit, and they take another to, say, Mars, say, the Son, and then interrogate them independently, they would tell you the same thing. Hallelujah. Amen. That it is their word. Hallelujah. And that they operate together and they agree completely. And it's a team. Can you see where team comes from? And that is why he's not doing it through just one person. He's relying on a team. Hallelujah. Who agree on His word as final authority. Amen. And that makes that body possible. All these various units working together in one body. And if they don't agree, the body is in trouble. Hallelujah. So we have to agree commonly on these truths once and for all. Amen. Even though it progressively happens. Amen. We see darkly through a mirror. Amen. Then more clearly. But till then, whatever revelation we have to walk in it and enjoy it as a team. Praise God. And that's why we cannot hold back, but we must share so that the body is profited. Otherwise, we are guilty. Amen. Praise God. And so we have to also give them His word. I have given them thy word. And so I cannot hold back either. If I have His way of thinking, I must also give them thy word. So we may spend a lot of time reading the word. And hours and months of word. Amen. Because that is what heaven chose to do. To Jesus. The Father gave Him the word. And He gave the word. And if I am thinking like Him, I should do the same. Praise God. Because it's not just some page and some letters in a book, but it is Himself. Praise God. And that is how He has chosen to communicate it, as Logos. Amen. That He is the Logos. He is the written word which is alive in heaven. And the only way to know Him is through that word. Hallelujah. And so, no matter what it looks like in the natural, we have to cleave to the fact, stick to the fact that this is not just a normal book with normal pages, with normal letters. This is God Himself. Amen. And Jesus committed us to that word, to God first of all, and to His word, to build us up and give us the inheritance. And who are we to choose some other way? Hallelujah. But to be leaning on the arm of flesh and trusting in our own efforts. Amen. So we don't want to go that way, even though it may tempt us. Hallelujah. It may call and beckon to us because a part of us is still natural. Hallelujah. But we want to rise up and come up higher. It takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. Hallelujah. And so we are stepping in that direction. Glory to God. And saying, Lord, if You saw it fit to give Jesus Your word, and then He has given us His word, we're going to take it like that also and pass it on. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we are not of this world. We are not of this world. We are born from above. We come from another family that speaks another language that the uninitiated cannot understand. They make no sense of it. For them it is foolishness. But for us it's the power of God. Hallelujah. And so we cannot go that way with the rest of the crowd. Hallelujah. But we must, with all that holy purity, accept it the way He accepted the Father's word and continue in it. And thereby, we get to know and we are set free in various degrees. Amen. True discipleship. Because we are not of this world, even as He is not of this world. Whoa. Praise God. What a reality. Thank You, Jesus. These are not just, you know, some kind of wishful thinking and poetry. This is truth. This is reality. Amen. So, let's read verse 14 in Kannada also.
ನಾನು ನಿನ್ನ ವಾಕ್ಯವನ್ನು ಅವರಿಗೆ ಕೊಟ್ಟಿದ್ದೇನೆ ನಾನು ಲೋಕದವನಲ್ಲದ ಪ್ರಕಾರ ಅವರು ಲೋಕದವರಲ್ಲವಾದದರಿಂದ ಲೋಕವು ಅವರನ್ನು ಹಾಗೆ ಮಾಡಿಯದೆ.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So we have thoughts like this constantly coming up. And it's amazing. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. There was this person who used to be a businessman and friend of Solomon. His name was Hiram. And he was from Tyre. He was the king of Tyre. And he used to bring cedars for the house and the buildings, etc. And because of his friendship and closeness and maybe honorableness, Solomon was close to him, you know, and wanted to be good to him and so on. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe we can read that a little and see. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 9. Let's read there. Verse 10. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. You know, the house of the Lord first, then the king's house. Notice the priority even back then. House of the Lord first, then the king's house. We came over a period of time where at some stage we had to step out. And by the way history and the word had worked with us, we were able to afford certain rents. So it may have looked at some point that our houses were better than the house of the Lord. But it was just that at some point we were detached from our previous work. Amen. But our lives had gone on in faith and were able to procure a certain standard. Amen. And by the time we restarted, our houses looked better than the house of the Lord. But that was not our intention. God knows. God bears us witness. Amen. So maybe years ago when we started, the house of the Lord was always better than our house, or was even our house, because we had no other house to put the house of the Lord. But we knew that we were here for one reason and one reason only, to build the house of God, which was his people. Amen. Because we are now his temple. And other things would fall in place. Praise God. Verse 10. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. Now, in brackets, verse 11. Now, Hiram, the king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with cedar trees. And he has the right people. You know, this is the man to bring the cedar trees. And fir trees. And with gold, according to all his desire. Notice that. Solomon, that then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. He said, you know, man, I'm just going to give you 20 cities in the land of Galilee. Because of all that. But look at this, verse 12. And Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they pleased him not. They pleased him not. And he said, what cities are these which thou hast given me, my brother? They were that close. He's also a king. And he called them out the land of Kabul unto this day. And Kabul means worthless. Amen. But it is not the other Kabul in Afghanistan. Amen. These are, you know, in the area of Israel itself. Hallelujah. I mean the land that was under the control of Solomon. But this is natural inheritance that can be broken down and become worthless. Hidanda. Chumma kandam. What is all this? Just paddy fields. Meanwhile, somebody gave it to you as a great inheritance. But on the earth, it can always be devalued by various factors. That is how inheritances are on the earth. They fail, they flop, they get taxed, they get cheated out of, they corrode, they are stolen, they are destroyed because they are under the sense realm and the dominion of Satan. Amen. And even though it came from a well-meaning heart, it can turn out this way. And what is all this? This is what you give me, my brother. Amen. So God invented, in quote, a system where he would watch over and make sure you get the right inheritance that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, and he would keep us. Amen. It would have been just nice, to just be a friend of King Solomon. Just a friend. Don't even get into heavy business and all of that. Just to stand with him. Because Queen Sheba came from far away just to hear him. And this is Hiram, his friend and brother in quote, you know. These things have become ours today by the Spirit of God, you know, that we can look into it and see, even from a well-meaning friend, it can still go south. Amen. And it can be like, this is what your grandfather gave, this your brother gave, and your friend from far away. Amen. But thank God he's higher than all of that. Verse 40. Then Hiram sent to the king 60 talents of gold. You know, praise God. And this is the reason of the levy which the king Solomon raised for to build the house of the Lord and his own house and Milo and the wall of Jerusalem and Hazor and Megiddo and Gezer. Praise God. And so a certain kind of tax and all became seasonal there at that point. But there is history in all of this, right? Praise God. And thank God for our inheritance. even if we just made it to heaven, which we are going to, we could say, woo, glory, we can rejoice greatly. No matter what the trial out here, our inheritance is undefiled. Forever, 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 forever. And he's using the same care and watchful insight and love to keep us also. And we can take advantage of it through the knowledge of these things. Hallelujah. And don't be moved by what is going on down here. Even from the kindest hearts, it can still go south. And not to be moved by all of that. And to rather focus on the fact that he's bigger and he cares much more and he has already done and he continues to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's see if we can read 1 Kings chapter 9. Maybe from verse 10 all the way to verse 13.
ತೂರಿನ ಅರಸನಾದ ಹೀರಾಮನು ಸೊಲೊಮೋನನಿಗೆ ದೇವದಾರು ಮರಗಳನ್ನೂ ತುರಾಯಿ ಮರಗಳನ್ನೂ ಚಿನ್ನವನ್ನೂ ತನ್ನ ಎಲ್ಲ ಇಷ್ಟದ ಪ್ರಕಾರ ಕೊಟ್ಟಿದ್ದರಿಂದ 20 ವರುಷಗಳಾದ ತರುವಾಯ ಸೊಲೊಮೋನನು ಆ ಎರಡು ಮನೆಗಳನ್ನು ಅಂದರೆ ಕರ್ತನ ಮನೆಯನ್ನು ಅರಮನೆಯನ್ನು ಕಟ್ಟಿಸಿ ತೀರಿಸಿದನು ಆಗ ಸೊಲೊಮೋನನು ಗಲೀಲಾಯ ದೇಶದಲ್ಲಿ ಹೀರಾಮನಿಗೆ 20 ಪಟ್ಟಣಗಳನ್ನು ಕೊಟ್ಟನು ಆಗ ಹೀರಾಮನು ತೂರಿನಿಂದ ಸೊಲೊಮೋನನು ತನಗೆ ಕೊಟ್ಟ ಪಟ್ಟಣಗಳನ್ನು ನೋಡಲು ಬಂದನು ಆದರೆ ಅವು ಅವನಿಗೆ ಮೆಚ್ಚುಗೆಯಾಗಿರಲಿಲ್ಲ ಆದ್ದರಿಂದ ಅವನು ನನ್ನ ಸಹೋದರನೇ ನೀನು ನನಗೆ ಕೊಟ್ಟ ಈ ಪಟ್ಟಣಗಳೇನೆಂದು ಹೇಳಿ ಅವುಗಳಿಗೆ ಕಾಬೂಲ್ ದೇಶವೆಂದು ಹೆಸರಿಟ್ಟನು ಇಂದಿನವರೆಗೂ ಅವುಗಳಿಗೆ ಅದೇ ಹೆಸರು
ಆಮೆನ್ ಸೋ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಯು ಈಟ್ ಕಾಬೂಲಿ ಚನ್ನ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಎ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಬಿಟ್ Hallelujah. Anyway, let's go on. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Ooh, glory to God. That's a lot of words jostling for space. The glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Amen. This is what Paul ended up saying. Hallelujah. That this is a glorious gospel. It's nothing less than heaven itself. the pure light and glory of God, where there is no darkness at all. Where there's no stumbling, there's no darkness at all. The glorious gospel, good news. Of the blessed God, this is the only way you can say that. So for people to use his name in vain is another shade altogether. It must be blindness of the highest level, where you call the blessed God other names, which was committed to my trust. Amen. That word involves somebody being trustworthy. He said, committed to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. So he looked at Paul and said, you, in my sight, I've already seen everything. You're a faithful person. I'm committing this to your trust. Amen. And today, you can say the same of yourself. That God saw you before time began and said, this boy, this girl will take my good news. I am committing it to their trust. Amen. That takes a whole new dimension when you start looking at it like that. That God solemnly came and said, this, my glory, I am giving to you as gospel. You go and be a witness of that. As living proof that you saw these things, which they saw through the gospel. And that your nature became one with them who saw it. And one with God of whom it bears witness. And therefore you can say you are a witness of these things. Even though you were not there physically. Because these words are not just ordinary words, but they actually transport God to you, the believer. And you are a witness, therefore, of all that they bore witness and touched and felt and enjoyed when he walked on the earth. That's the truth. That this word has communicated to us all these things in reality. And that God is counting on the reality of it. That even Paul, who did not walk with them, to him it was committed. That we, as a pattern to follow after, can and must do the same. Amen. And so, we are actually without excuse. Hallelujah. We have nothing to say, but to check and see, are you really a believer? That's all. Have you believed this gospel? Have you believed that Jesus came in the flesh? That God actually came as man? Woo-hoo-hoo. If you dare to believe that and acted on it from the word of God, you are truly, actually, as they are, sons of God. And as they did, you can also do. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. I thank God. Verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So from that life, we have these glorious, glorious epistles that we are just, thank God, drooling over, reading with great fondness and holding on to. Amen. But you and I are actually the ones that God has trusted in and committed this glorious gospel to. And we are to be his witness that he's alive and he cannot do it without us. Amen. So my brother and sister, we're going to take it just like that. We're going to accept it as it is written. Amen. That God found you faithful. Amen. Praise God. And like the servant in Naaman's house, who was nothing but a servant, praise God, who brought that good news to the general. And like simple Ananias, who doubted that he should even go near Paul, he was chosen to lay hands on him. that God always chooses the foolish, the nothings and the nobody, over the mighty. There are minority of the majority of the, you know, worldly sense ruled believers. Amen. You know, there's a majority of that, but there's a minority of that that's used. Glory to God. Amen. And I found out as time passed that a lot of those kind of guys, they had secret lives that were really terrible. I fell for their words from big dictionaries. Amen. I'm not trying to cast a shadow, but I'm saying it is better to go by faith than by much study of just carnal knowledge, fleshly knowledge. And all of us are apt to some level of carnality. Amen. Because we live in a carnal world, flesh rule, sense rule world. And so all of us go through these things. But it is far better to take the word of faith rather than the word of just carnal knowledge, which puffs up. Amen. The main factor being the nature of God, which is love. Amen. Otherwise, we are puffed up. Amen. Carnal knowledge puffs up. So one who knows the love nature and is acquainted with God cannot be puffed up, but is essentially humble. Praise God, and says, He chose me not because of any good thing I had. I was formerly injurious, a blasphemer, like Paul is saying. I was nothing and nobody. But in His great foreknowledge, He saw me and said, you are the right guy. Amen? So He's still counting on those who will take Him at His word rather than carnal knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Something to think about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's such a divide in the body of Christ about these things that we just act on the word and act as if the word is God Himself. And the others go into strenuous wrestlings with various meanings instead of just taking God at His word. The way we were saved, we did not know everything about salvation when we called on His name. Amen. So little children do know Him, but in a different way from those who have matured. And that's the knowledge that we are talking about, that increases as we mature. And we eventually get to know the love of God, which is the highest, which never fails, which is God Himself. Amen. So you could say that what is happening to us is that from nothing, insignificant, nobodies, the majority of the preaching has been committed to such ones. And He has skipped many of the wise, the noble, in the flesh. Praise God. And therefore, our staying true to that is more important than ever before. Because today, artificial intelligence can give you messages. You can study the Bible without studying it. You can just press buttons and the message will come, full of Greek and every other language. Amen. And it is there. And people are taking advantage of it. But you cannot in any way substitute that for knowing Him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we can impress people at various levels. But the truth is, do we know Him? Hallelujah. Because He chose the foolish. He chose the nobody. Amen. He didn't choose us because we had reached some pinnacle of great worldly knowledge. Amen. He chose us because we came to the end of everything and we were ready to accept the Lord of everything. Hallelujah. And so it has been chosen, decided by God that we are the ones He's committing this glorious gospel to. Amen. And it is only found in the pages of this book, in nothing else. Amen. And even if we glean all other knowledge, like Solomon, we can also be foolish. This man knew everything, second to Jesus. Nobody else was called one wiser than Solomon standing here, meaning that Solomon was almost like God in his wisdom. What do you think? That Jesus should compare him with himself. That God had given him this largeness of heart, that he would know all these things. Amen. He must have been an incredible person. But when he stepped away and went into natural thinking and experimentation, he fell away, and the Bible says he died as a fool. Amen. And so we must never depart from the simplicity of the glorious gospel and the faith of God. No matter what happens in our search for prominence and eminence, we must always remember we were chosen because we were nothing. Amen. And trying to make ourselves something is a waste of time. Promotion comes from the Lord. And any other self-promotion is not promotion. And it will be seen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Very interesting. Let's see if we can hear 1 Timothy 1, verse 11.
ಈ ಬೋಧನೆಯು ಸ್ತುತ್ಯನಾದ ದೇವರ ಮಹಿಮೆಯ ಸುವಾರ್ತೆಗೆ ಅನುಸಾರವಾಗಿದೆ. ಈ ಸುವಾರ್ತೆಯು ನನ್ನ ವಶಕ್ಕೆ ಕೊಡಲ್ಪಟ್ಟಿತು.
Glory to God. Maybe we can read verse 12 and then 13 also in Kannada.
ನನಗೆ ಬಲವನ್ನು ದಯಪಾಲಿಸಿದಾತನು ನಮ್ಮ ಕರ್ತನಾದ ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತ ಯೇಸುವೆ. ಆತನು ನನ್ನನ್ನು ನಂಬಿಗಸ್ತನೆಂದು ಎಣಿಸಿ ಈ ಸೇವೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ನೇಮಿಸಿಕೊಂಡದ್ದಕ್ಕಾಗಿ ನಾನು ಆತನಿಗೆ ಸ್ತೋತ್ರ ಸಲ್ಲಿಸುತ್ತೇನೆ. ಮೊದಲು ದೇವದೂಷಕನು ಹಿಂಸಕನು ಕೇಡು ಮಾಡುವವನು ಆಗಿದ್ದ ನಾನು ಅವಿಶ್ವಾಸಿಯಾಗಿ ತಿಳಿಯದೆ ಹಾಗೆ ಮಾಡಿದ್ದರಿಂದ ನನ್ನ ಮೇಲೆ ಕರುಣೆ ಉಂಟಾಯಿತು.
So we are not trying to be, in quote, pure and right because of some standard that we have put out there. But we just want to know Him. Amen? Because we do create these standards. And they have been inserted there by a worldly system. Amen? So Paul would pray simply, that I might know Him. We thought He knew everything. That I might know Him. That's an amazing thought, to really know Him. But you wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. I thought you knew. We're dealing with an infinite person, which in quote means almost unknowable is what we're saying. How can you know a God who is infinite, has no limit? So at some point in our lives, the knowledge of God rises up to become the highest thing. Amen. Glory to God. And for that sake, he said he was willing to just be Paul, an ambassador in bonds. Praise God. He was willing to just lay it all down. Amen. God has given us opportunity to be married, to have children, to do X, Y, Z, but we must never forget this high privilege that we have. Amen. Amen. And they should not just be watered down just because we're in 2024 and there's so many demands. Hallelujah. God help us. Amen. May we be moving in that direction. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So there is this seed of Satan, who he wants to make to sit on the throne, like Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. Interesting comparison. How he feels that he's in the place of God and that his seed can be the Son and sit there in the throne. He's directly standing against God. The gall of this person is amazing. And even though I found it hard to imagine that it was all about these two, that we were just in between as a person who has received the love of God. That it was actually between these two, between God and his archenemy. And that our getting saved and being filled with his knowledge was to teach the principalities and powers in the heavenlies the unsearchable riches and the wisdom of God. To teach them a lesson. And people have degraded that, and if you read popular Christian studies and readings, that how can it be that God will fall to such a level that we are just puppets in the middle of a game between him and his enemy? You can come down to that level and say, oh, God has become really low to us in maltreating us and making us just pawns in a game which he has against his enemy. And some people hold that view, that that is our value, that we're just pawns. You can look at it like that. But if you look in the truth, he says it is through us that God is honored. It is through us that his life is manifested. That it is through us his wisdom is unveiled even to the principalities and powers in the heavenlies. That we, the fallen beings who did not even know, are the ones he has chosen to display and show forth his praises, his marvelous light, his praises, his excellencies, his virtues. And so the only response from anybody, including that very highly educated, knowledgeable man, zealous man like Paul, was, I did everything ignorantly, but God still chose me, who was before a blasphemer and injurious, because God chooses the foolish. Amen? So, even though we may like to align with the noble, God's definition of nobility is that they studied the scripture daily to find out if these things were so. And that was his definition of nobility. And not just natural nobility, but those who studied the scripture. Amen. They presented themselves to God as workmen that he would approve and say, you are honorable. Amen. Praise God. Those who divided the word correctly, which is the heart's desire. Amen. Praise God. But in our division of the word, we can still go natural. Amen. And so to stay humble is because we have come in contact with the one who loved us, even though we did not love him. That is equivalent to biting the hand that feeds you. They don't know who you are. You are feeding them and they bite your hand. Isn't that the way it is? Amen. That the person who loved you without you loving them gave himself, laid everything out, and we refuse him? And we take him for granted and we don't have the time of day for him? That we are very busy with so many other things? That's the same as biting the hand that feeds you. And the one who feeds in spite of the hand being bitten is humble. Amen. He's humble. He's enduring it and still saying, something happened to me. Something changed me. Something satisfied me. The death of my son. That settled it permanently. Amen. Innocent animals. Just imagine, I don't know, you know, if you can track with me like that. I was not like this before. But I'm thinking now, some cow that has done nothing wrong has to be led to some place, and it would say some kind of utterance like, moo, and then its head is gone. And then it is divided, and blood is everywhere. And a lamb, and a turtle dove, and a pigeon, and all these things that did nothing wrong would have to give their life with excruciating pain at that moment, and God would be partially satisfied, temporarily appeased. Okay, next year, we'll see. Amen. It sometimes boggles the imagination. What did that animal do? What did that do? What did that creature do that God would be satisfied? Temporarily, even temporarily, by that life and that blood being shed. It gives you an idea of who he is. That man's wrongdoing has affected him to a place that somebody has to pay for this and he must be innocent. That's who he is. Life has to be shed because you have done the wrong thing. And I cannot be satisfied. Wow. Holy. 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 He has to exact it. He requires it. Otherwise he's not satisfied. He's not appeased. Until all these things pointed to the one, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, came in flesh. God manifested as a pure lamb, and that satisfied permanently, forever, the justice and desire of the Father God towards us. Wow. Praise God. And so any spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ came physically as a man in the flesh, he's the spirit of the Antichrist. He's against God and his anointed one. Amen. Verse 4. But you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Isn't it interesting how at one time that's all we would hear and we didn't want to hear anything else? It made no sense to us. You come here talking about Jesus. Give me a break, man. Can I just like leave right now? It just did not make any sense. Because we got born again from another place, from above. We had a renewed life. Born anew. And this language now became the language that we listened to. It's not just praise the Lord and hallelujah, but a certain way of thinking. And a certain way of putting ideas together, which did not originate from this earth. And so, we would listen to them that are from above. And find out how much we can agree with them based on our knowledge. Amen. And we would work with one thing, one general theme. You believe Jesus is the Son of God? Yes. Let's work. Amen. That separated us from everything else. No matter how trivial or important it seemed to be, that's no big deal. You believe Jesus came in the flesh and gave his life and rose again the third day. And you believe that he's the Son of God. And you believe he took away your sins. You believe that? Yes, I do. Finished. You're born from above. And heaven became your gift. Eternal life became your gift. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 John 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. How clear is that? You may seem to be living, but you don't have the life that he's talking about. Amen. That God actually gave to you and me. That came only through the Son. That's why we cannot go with, you know, this witness and that witness. We only believe that if you have the Son, you have the Father also. Some people would go this way and that way. But it's a blatant disregard of these verses. And therefore, it has to be engineered by another spirit, which is against the Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on his name, or the name of the Son of God. We just believe. I mean, there was a point where we just threw ourselves on that name. We just flung ourselves on the mercy and the grace in that name. Here we go. Say amen. Hallelujah. That you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know. This is written pages away from the book of Revelation, which is the last of the few things that Paul said in the end of his life and ministry. And he was the pastor of the biggest move of God in the world, which was in Ephesus, which sponsored the other churches. Amen. I'm just impressed by this man who was known as the apostle of love, the best friend of Jesus. Amen. And he is the one that is writing these things, which look very simple, and they are, but are very deep at the same time. Amen? That unveil the humanity of Jesus and the deity of Jesus at the same time. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Thank God we have another life. We have the God kind of life. That we need to know that and we accept it. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That name continues. Born of incorruptible seed. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Praise God. Wonderful. Imagine if one were to know the word of God to a place where it abides in us. It looks as though whatever you desire, let's just say, wish, command, in quotes, because you desired and desired it and desired it, because of the word dwelling and remaining in you, it would just come. Isn't that a result of the life of God? There's no other explanation to that. That the word has brought increasing doses of that life to a place where anything is possible. Amen. We have that life. And we need to know that we have that life. And because of that life, and the ability of that life, which is in the word itself, you can have whatever you desire from that life and that word. And that puts us in another category altogether. Amen. And therefore, we want to embrace this thing more and more. All right. Glory. God help us all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We went to John. I don't think we read 1 John 4. Let's read 1 John 4 first of all. Verse 3 and 4.
ಯೇಸು ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನು ಶರೀರದಲ್ಲಿ ಬಂದನೆಂದು ಒಪ್ಪಿಕೊಳ್ಳದಿರುವ ಪ್ರತಿಯೊಂದು ಆತ್ಮವು ದೇವರಿಗೆ ಸಂಬಂಧಪಟ್ಟದ್ದಲ್ಲ ಅದು ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತ ವಿರೋಧಿಯ ಆತ್ಮವಾಗಿದೆ ಅದು ಬರುವುದೆಂಬುದನ್ನು ನೀವು ಕೇಳಿ ಅದಿರಲ್ಲ ಈಗಲೂ ಅದು ಲೋಕದಲ್ಲಿ ಇದೆ ಚಿಕ್ಕ ಮಕ್ಕಳೇ ನೀವು ದೇವರಿಗೆ ಸಂಬಂಧಪಟ್ಟವರಾಗಿದ್ದೀರಿ ಅವರನ್ನು ಜಯಿಸಿದ್ದೀರಿ ನಿಮ್ಮಲ್ಲಿರುವ ಆತನು ಲೋಕದಲ್ಲಿ ಇರುವವನಿಗಿಂತ ದೊಡ್ಡವನಾಗಿದ್ದಾನೆ
And so, as children of God, bearing his own nature, exactly like him, we can carry the greater one. His own spirit can indwell us. And he's greater than anything that's in the world and has defeated any other power. And we share in that victory because of the spirit that indwells us. It brings that to us. It communicates and brings us into fellowship with the fact that every other power has been defeated and you are in that victory. You are in that victory as though you yourself were there bringing the victory to pass, which was won for us 2,000 years ago at least. Amen. But then, you know, verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Unfortunately, there's a, in quote, language barrier, that they cannot understand what we're saying, until they are born from another country, so to speak. It's true that your language, not just speaking in tongues and all that, but that your language itself cannot be understood until you're born from that kingdom or that country. From above. Amen. Cannot understand. And imagine believers who don't know that. Who are equipped with only things in the Old Testament and a shallow reading of it. They don't understand when you say, but I was already healed. Then I'm blessed. They look at you like, duh. What are you talking about? It's not good as that. And you're saying it is a glorious gospel. It is glorious good news. It is beyond your wildest imagination. It is the very life and nature of God and goodness of God, of how good God is and how gracious God is. Are you trying to tell me the gospel is anything less than that? Amen. And so we communicate these things. And that even little children who just got saved yesterday actually have participated in the victory because the greater one communicated it to us. Hallelujah. And so we rely on the greater one, the Spirit of God, to communicate these things, make them real to us more and more. Verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, verse 7, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So we were saying last week that the fact that you're born again doesn't mean that you know God in that degree or this degree and that degree. Amen. But knowing God is different from whether you're saved or not saved. Amen. So people have this immediate reaction because of the system in which we were brought up and, you know, family or whatever, that anytime there's a mild correction, it is taken as disapproval. Amen. And there's an immediate shut off. But it is just a misunderstanding of who God is. And so speaking to the Corinthians and also to the Hebrews, he said, don't you know, have you forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you as children? Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. But he says, if the Lord chastens you, he sees you as his own dear child. And wisdom says, they that scorn, you cannot tell them anything. That wisdom has to deal with adjustments constantly. Amen. And that we must accept we are not perfect. Amen. And we want to know Him. And knowing Him is walking in love. Amen. Hallelujah. And therefore, there's going to be a flesh that's crying out, a nature that's crying out for selfish motivation. Because love is preferring the other above oneself. Amen. Unfortunately, we are living in a world that trained us that way to take the oxygen for ourselves and keep it on ourselves rather than connect it to someone else. And it will always assault us. It will always come back to us, such thinking. So this is written to people who are proceeding after so many thoughts with Paul, and then John as pastor in Ephesus, and then he's thrown into that island. It's very interesting. There's a lot inside there. Amen. But notice, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. He's not saying that you are not born again if you don't walk in love. Amen. Because, you know, you got born again, but you didn't just automatically love everybody. But the knowledge of Him made us begin to now love people and call them brother and sister and actually see them as family. Amen. And maybe even step out a little bit and think that a little correction may not be so bad. But it may not be received like that. And we must continue in spite of it all. Amen. Verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So can you see, in God's standards of knowing Him, it's not the number of degrees. It is the love. Other things just puff up because they are carnal if they are not based on this love, which lays down for the other. Amen? We may have been going off in tangents here and there. Meanwhile, this is the truth. Not that you're not born again. No, no. But that we just don't know Him the way we ought to know Him. You could just say that that person has not grown. He's still immature. He doesn't know God. Amen? That's why he's selfish and self-centered and only bothered about himself. Amen? And all of us came from there. Hallelujah? And so we are all in the process. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Hallelujah. This is a person giving His Son so that we can live. Jesus. Amen. And it was a real test. He had to prove it by His life that He would be raised again. It was not some fake. It was not pre-managed, pre-performed. No. It was a risk that heaven was taking with the Son, manifesting in the flesh, that He would have to endure the onslaught of the flesh and the world and the dominion of darkness and be perfect through it all. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent us His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Oof, plenty of stuff. But now let's keep going down. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. How about that for something settled? God dwells in him and he in God. If you confess, And we have known and have believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. For a minute, love, which is God and his nature and his plan, is made perfect by man accepting this. It is brought to perfection by man appreciating and choosing and accepting and yielding to him. And God is finally represented properly, perfectly, by one who accepts this and walks in it and says, it makes you so sure that you are not going to hell. And it makes you so sure that you are as he is in this world today. When you appreciate and accept what this Son and this Father have done, and by the Spirit receive it, oof, it makes you sure about certain things. Amen. That this is God's plan in more perfect terms. Praise God. And that's why we are encouraged to grow. Because the perfected plan will be seen. That this is how God's plan looks like. If you look at these people, you can see God's plan. Amen. And therefore, he's perfecting that which concerns us. He's keeping us in a place where we're constantly being perfected in the blood of Jesus and through his ministry. Hallelujah. Oh, we've said so many things. You can tell that these things just whet our appetite to see it more and study it more and pray over it some more. Amen. But let's see if we can read a thing or two and then close. Let's hear verse 6 out of 1 John 4 in Kannada.
ನಾವಂತೂ ದೇವರಿಗೆ ಸಂಬಂಧಪಟ್ಟವರಾಗಿದ್ದೇವೆ ದೇವರನ್ನು ಬಲ್ಲವನು ನಮ್ಮ ಮಾತನ್ನು ಕೇಳುತ್ತಾನೆ ದೇವರಿಗೆ ಸಂಬಂಧಪಡದವನು ನಮ್ಮ ಮಾತನ್ನು ಕೇಳುವುದಿಲ್ಲ ಇದು ಸತ್ಯದ ಆತ್ಮ ಅದು ಸುಳ್ಳಿನ ಆತ್ಮ ಎಂದು ಇದರಿಂದಲೇ ನಾವು ತಿಳಿದುಕೊಳ್ಳುತ್ತೇವೆ
Praise God. We can also hear verse 7 and 8 and then close.
ಪ್ರಿಯರೇ ನಾವು ಒಬ್ಬರನ್ನೊಬ್ಬರು ಪ್ರೀತಿಸೋಣ ಯಾಕಂದರೆ ಪ್ರೀತಿಯು ದೇವರಿಂದಾಗಿದೆ ಪ್ರೀತಿ ಮಾಡುವ ಪ್ರತಿಯೊಬ್ಬನು ದೇವರಿಂದ ಹುಟ್ಟಿದವನು ದೇವರನ್ನು ಬಲ್ಲವನು ಆಗಿದ್ದಾನೆ ಪ್ರೀತಿಯಿಲ್ಲದವನು ದೇವರನ್ನು ಬಲ್ಲವನಲ್ಲ ಯಾಕಂದರೆ ದೇವರು ಪ್ರೀತಿಯಾಗಿದ್ದಾನೆ
Glory to God. Let's thank him for these things. Continue to pray and study, meditate. Don't take it for granted. These hours and hours of, you know, study of the word. This is our life. This is our future. This is our inheritance. This is everything. Amen. That God has communicated to us. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And our lives will be stable in these last days. You will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Whole and sound, a witness and a testimony of the life of God, the gospel, the glorious gospel, which is committed to our trust, that we will be a living witness. We give you praise for that. We thank you for that. And every other thing, fall away in Jesus' name. Receive the progressive change and transformation from glory to glory. And you shall not be hindered in Jesus' name. But you shall be perfected more and more. And you will not quit, but you will go on, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you'd like to give, this is a great opportunity. Praise God. We can expect that seed of God and his word colliding with our faith, mixing with our faith, will bring forth mighty harvest. Thank you so much, team. You are blessed.
I've got the victory living inside of me. not the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back. No place to go slack. Gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won. I've got the victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back. No place to go slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won. Sometimes the way might seem a little bit hard. You might be tempted to grow weary and tired.